Hello and welcome to the Evenus podcast, a brand new series from Evenus, a domestic violence service that supports women and children experiencing domestic abuse through the stages of crisis, recovery and freedom. In today's episode, we discuss legal orders and the court process. Leanne, our conversation today centres on court orders and the court process explained in more detail. In episode one, we did explore what domestic abuse looks like and how the court and legal system represents a way in which someone experiencing abuse can access protection. We would have also provided an outline of the court service Evenus provides to clients that require information, support, applying for an order, applying for legal aid, accessing accompaniment support or going to court, for example, going to a Garda station, meeting with their solicitor, and lastly, the support that maybe a client might need in the aftermath having gone to court.
And maybe at the start of this podcast today, Emma, we might talk about what domestic abuse is. And this is for, I suppose, listeners that maybe just came into this one to find out a little bit more about the legal orders that we're going to talk about later. So domestic abuse is an incident or pattern of incidents of controlling, coercive, threatening, degrading or violent behaviour by a partner, ex-partner, a family member or carer. Domestic abuse can include but isn't limited to the following, and that's coercive control, psychological and or emotional abuse, physical or sexual abuse, financial or economic abuse, harassment and stalking, or online and digital abuse. And just to say, we're talking about legal orders today, Emma, because domestic abuse is a crime.
It is, and I suppose the domestic violence legislation is there to provide protection, you know, to the welfare or safety of a person seeking court protection. And to explain that in a little bit more detail, court orders and a person seeking a court order is commonly referred to as an applicant. And the order that they might be seeking refers to them, but also any dependent children under the age of 18 years, that they may be looking for support or protection for as well. Court orders are made by the judge, and as such, the judge may give or provide specific instructions or directions that in effect direct a person accused of abusive behaviour, also known as the respondent, to stop what they're doing and to essentially from that point forward no longer threaten or act violently towards the applicants. It may also, from the point of what the judge directs, prevent someone from going home, and may actually order them to leave the home and or may reduce their contact with dependent children. It's important to know that with any court process that you will be going before the judge to, I suppose, explain to the judge why it is you feel fearful or threatened in the first place. And that based on that, the judge will adjudicate and make a decision. And in a desirable outcome, the judge will provide and grant a court order providing you that protection. Orders, generally speaking, are made in the district court setting, and there are court hearings that will take place naturally in circuit court or high court, but they may form part of other proceedings like divorce or separation. Most of the applications that we support clients with will be made through the district court. And while there may be applications that are heard at circuit court and high court level, they may form part of other proceedings like divorce or separation. So what we're going to talk about today, namely relate to proceedings that happen in the district court.
So let's start with a protection order. And a protection order is that order, that's that temporary order that you can get when you go in to apply for the courts. And you can get that order whether you're living with somebody or whether you're not living with somebody. And that order will protect you, will be served on the person who's the perpetrator of domestic abuse. So you can apply for the protection order while you're waiting on a safety order or a barring order. And in doing so, the person doesn't need to be in the court when you're making that application for that order. I think that's a really important point. You know, people get scared and they often wonder, like, will he be there or what will happen? In those first couple of days when you are applying for that forced order, there is some kind of reprieve for yourself as you're thinking about it. And going into the court is really, really scary for some people, but it's a really brave move for women to be making.
It is. And I think you mentioned, Leanne, the fact that someone can make it without are having their perpetrator there present. You'll hear a term called ex parte applications, and that's essentially what that means. Someone can make it immediately without having to have another person there to represent.
So some of the other orders that you can apply for on an immediate basis are the interim barren order and the emergency barren order. So both of those are orders where you're asking somebody to leave the home in which you reside. For an interim barren order, it's only made in exceptional circumstances as it's granted without notice to the person. So that order will then be followed up by the person who serves the order and they'll be asked to leave your home. An emergency barren order is then again in exceptional circumstances where it might be an adult child, not necessarily in that intimate partner relationship, and they'll be asked to leave the home.
And I think that the need for immediate protection is very clear and very evident to anyone that may be in a situation where they feel unsafe. And a couple of things in terms of maybe going through the court process that I think important to highlight today is that when you're looking to apply to the district court for a court order, it's important to know where to go. And that might not be something that comes up in a lot of the county areas, but for Dublin, we have district courts in Swords, Balbriggan and Tallaght, and we have family law courts in the city centre, namely Dauphin House. So it's important that you get a clarification dependent on where you're living, what office you should present to. And that's something that our own staff can help out, but you can also contact the district office to find out that information yourself. It's also important to think about, you know, what order might suit me best in this circumstance, and do I meet the eligibility? And we have an ability to go through that with anyone seeking that information to ensure, again, that when they're getting into court, that they have the best possible chance of going through the process without any issues arising. It's also really important that when you're going into the court space, that you know both your address and the address of the person with whom you're seeking protection. And that's because essentially the court can only serve an order where they know the whereabouts of the perpetrator or the alleged perpetrator. In terms of the court preparation and the preparation in general, we support clients going through, it's important that we can sit with, or the client themselves can sit with, why it is they need to go to court, like what's prompted that arrival to get to court. And we would help clients to think about very recent incidents, dates, times, the details of those incidents that a client can recall to the court clerk. And it's also important in that to describe how the incidents may have made you feel, may have made your children feel, and of course, where there was also a threat to your children if that was the case. In terms of going to court for the first time, it's important to know that for immediate orders and immediate protection that Leanne has just touched on, that orders are processed on a first come, first serve basis. So you'll have to wait to speak to the court clerk. The court clerk, as I referenced, may ask some questions in relation to whether you've been here before, you know your address, you know your address of the perpetrator and the order that you're seeking. It's also really important that if you require an interpreter, that you state that at that stage. And the court clerk will issue you a court reference number or a number, and you'll wait to be seated until you get into a room to speak to that person in a more confidential way. Once you're in that room, you'll fill out what's called an information form. And that's as per what I would have referenced around that preparation. That information form denotes all the details in relation to why you've presented to court today. You'll be probably asked things like, well, what's the status of your relationship? Again, the length of the relationship, the length and time of the abuse, and then the last or most recent incidents of abuse. And whether maybe you've sought Garda assistance, medical assistance, whether you've had to access refuge, they'd be all really important details to include at this time. The court clerk will read that back to you, ask you if you're happy with that, and get you to sign that.
Your court application makes its way up to the residing judge or the sitting judge. You'll receive a court hearing date for a safety or barring order. So when you go up to the judge, you'll wait outside the room and the court clerk will come out and call you. You'll go in then, and the judge may have some questions for you in relation to the order that you're applying for. So they might ask you to go through some of that timeline that Emma has already talked about, and they will go ahead and think about the information that you've given them and granting an order.
Yeah, and I think, Leanne, we talked about those being orders that you make when you're seeking immediate protection, and they're commonly referred to as ex parte applications, where you make them without the respondent or the person with whom you're seeking protection, you know, not being there. They'll go ahead without that person. And on that basis, there's a number of decisions that the judge will make.
So some of those decisions is the order is granted. And that means that the judge will grant you the temporary order that you applied for. It means that you can continue to apply for a longer term safety order or a barring order or both. And you'll receive a copy of the court order at that point. The court order comes into effect once the person has been served the order. So even though you may have a copy of the order in your hand, it's when the other person receives their copy of the order that comes into effect, because then it's in their awareness. The judge will decide who will serve the documents on the person that you're seeking protection from, and this will be the court service or the Garda. You may have contact with the person you're seeking protection from before the documents are served. If it's safe to do so, you should make the person you are seeking protection from aware that an order has been made and give them a copy of the order. By doing this, the person you're seeking protection from is considered to be notified.
Yeah.
So that goes back to that piece that we were just talking about. Once they're notified, then the order is served and it's actually working on your behalf.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose that captures the orders that someone can get in the short term. Maybe moving on to some of the orders that someone can apply in a longer term sense, we have a safety order and a barring order. And a safety order essentially prevents someone from using or threatening to use violence or abusive behaviour towards you or your dependent children. It doesn't importantly require that person to leave the home that they may share with you. And it can be granted for up to 5 years. Whereas a barring order can be granted, but the key distinction with that is that someone would have to leave the home that they ordinarily reside in and or stay away from the home. It also prevents them to threaten or use violence against you and or your dependent children. And it can have within it a direction that that person shouldn't communicate verbally or digitally or electronically with you or your children. And that order can last up to 3 years.
You are listening to the Evenness Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. So if a short-term order is refused, that doesn't stop you from applying for a longer-term order, such as a safety order or a barring order or both in the future. And if all orders are refused, this means that the judge does not grant a temporary order or you're applying for the long-term safety order or both. So they're the three outcomes when it comes to orders that we most regularly see happen in the court space. So when you're preparing for court, it's important to consider certain supports to best prepare you for the full hearing, and this may include your application for legal aid and making sure that you get that in nice and early, where you can meet your legal representative before the courts, detailing incidents of abuse and gathering evidence. So that would be medical records, diaries or journals, any witnesses to any of the abuse that you would have experienced. And again, maybe some of our court accompaniment workers, and looking at that timeline of abuse and recording as much as you can. accessing court accompaniment support. So if you can get in contact with us as early as possible, when you have a court date, we can arrange somebody to support you in the court space. So once the order's been served and it's then time to go to court again, you'll be attending a full hearing for your safety or your bar in order or both. You and the person you're seeking protection from will have received a summons for court, a summons for the safety or bar in order. This will contain the date, time and venue. It's really important that you make your way to the right courts.
Mm-hmm. And there's usually a 2 to 3 month wait between an emergency order being granted and a hearing going ahead.
Yeah. So you must show up in the appointed court at the right time and on the right day. Mm-hmm. You and the person you're seeking protection from can give evidence to the court, and this means that you'll have to take an oath and give information about the application. A cross-examination may take place. This means answering questions from the person that you're seeking protection from or their legal representative. In some cases, a judge might want added information and they'll ask some questions also.
After hearing the evidence then, Leanne, just like with the emergency protection, the judge will make a decision. And the reason for that back and forth and that cross-examination is that the judge is trying to ascertain as much detail and fact as possible. And they will grant an order and set out some terms or details within that. In all cases where a woman is seeking an order, her dependent children will be covered in that order. So if an order is granted, it will state for how long the order is granted and will specify that that will cover her and her children. And it may then set out those details that may include contact or communication and again, preventing that person from being abusive or violent. If the judge refuses the order, it essentially means that, you know, it didn't reach the threshold for the court. From that point of view, where there may have been a temporary order in place, like a protection order, that becomes obsolete from that point forward. Yeah. It could also mean that the judge seeks to adjourn the application. And that sometimes comes about where there may be issues for the applicant, person making the application or the respondent, the person having received the application, not having maybe legal representation in place, or there may be other court applications that are due to be heard at a future date. Sometimes the judge attempts to put all those applications on the same day, or if one of those applications are pending a report or a further examination, the judge may hold a decision until all reports or information can be gathered. It essentially means that if an order is adjourned, that the temporary protection will be extended until that date. So if you have a protection order or an emergency barring order of any kind, that gets extended to the point at which you're expected to go back and return to court. And then we have a situation where sometimes a judge will issue a strike out of applications, and that essentially means they see the application cancelled or dismissed. That generally happens in cases where the applicant, the person making the application or legal representation, doesn't show up on the allocated day. And again, stressing that point you mentioned, Leanne, around, you know, getting the details correct, you know, presenting on the court, the right court and the right time, the right day is really important. And that essentially means that the emergency protection in place that may have been placed up to that point is no longer in place after that point.
So when you leave the courtroom, you also need support, don't you? Because it's about understanding the order, understanding what's just happened in the courtroom, understanding the protections that yourself or your children may have, understanding what the whole process is. But again, we walk in that trauma-informed environment, and it's understanding the experience that you've just had together at the same time. So it's important to link in with one of our court accompaniment workers and have that debrief and that understanding of what's just happened as part of the process that you've been through.
It's so important, and I suppose so much time and energy goes into preparing for that space. that there can be in essence a huge come down, and there can be an impact in terms of how you or how your children might have to navigate the next stage in the relationship, if in fact someone has to remain out of the home, or if there's going to be a change to the access conditions, yeah. That may have to be observed, and that requires a space where you can think about that in more detail.
Maybe now that we've heard a little bit more about the orders, we might talk about who you can apply for an order against.
Yes.
And we've talked about intimate partners, but there is other people in your home that you can apply for orders against. And they are your parents, adult sons and daughters, and grandparents. So it tends to be people who live in the family home alongside you, as well as intimate partners and ex-intimate partners that you may have a child or been in a relationship with.
Absolutely. So having gone through a court process and obtained legal protection, there's an acknowledgement that there was a need for that protection to promote the welfare or safety of the person seeking that protection, including her children, where relevant. And if in the situation that someone doesn't obey a court order, it's really important to recognise that a crime has happened from that point on. And where a client may have had experience of going through the family law district courts, once that offence has happened, it now goes or crosses over into the criminal court and district court process. And that's something where we expect the Gardaí to be really proactive in providing the next steps or follow-on supports to essentially clients that have been violated, hurt or threatened. But how you report a breach, it's important that you call 999 or 112. We recognise that this is an important avenue because the call is a recorded call. It goes through dispatch. Based on it going through the dispatch, it has to be allocated to a local unit, and there's an obligation on that local unit to respond before that call can be cleared. And that provides, for evidential purposes, that ability to have something noted and again, something recorded that should you need it for a later date.
I think, Emma, some of the women that we would have worked with currently and in the past, they're like, oh, it's only a small breach. He's only driven up the road, or he's only shouted something out at me as he was driving by. And I think it's those collective of breaches that are really important that women go back to get the supports of their local Garda station to keep themselves safe, because little breaches gather really, really quickly, don't they? We've seen that with quite a few people. So it is really important that you go and report a breach.
Absolutely. And it goes back to the fact that where we're defining abuse or coercive control, it's that pattern or escalated pattern that may be something that we really have to monitor and look out for. So if you have it acknowledged in your own right that what is happening or what may have happened is abusive, and you're escalating it to guards, that's a pattern that is recorded, yeah, and has the, you know, awareness and or visibility of Gardaí in terms of what they're mandated to do. It's not up to you at that, yeah, point to resolve that situation. That has to be handed over to Gardaí to resolve on your behalf, on your children's behalf.
And I think if you're unsure, mm-hmm, if a breach has happened, you know, we have a court accompaniment service, and our court workers then can talk you through maybe what that process is, what your order says, and what it is that the Gardaí needs to respond to on your behalf to keep you safe. And if you're looking for any more of that information, you can get information on the court process, legal orders, or the court application process. Again, we have that court accompaniment, so if you need to go to court, somebody can go with you from our service. Court preparation. So what is it that you need when you're going to court? And really about keeping you safe in going to court. So we also have the assistance in the legal aid application, and it's really important where you can to get your legal aid application in really early and gather the necessary documents so that you have all them as part of the process. It makes it more it makes it more concise and swift for women to engage with the process then. We can link and advocate with Gardaí, solicitors, barristers, social workers and legal personnel on your behalf, or we can offer supports after the court. And I think that's been a really important piece for us today, is knowing that women require support after the court, because it can be such a big process and a big journey for women to go on. And often it's the end of something, but the start of something new, because women are then safe. They have their order in place, and support after the court. And in doing the support after the court, it's really important that women have somebody who hears them, who believes them, who's been on that journey and been through that process with them. So they're going off now to start their new life with their order in place, and things are going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's about managing what that new space looks like.
Yeah, and having worked in the court service myself, I can absolutely see how the journey takes on so many different forms, where it relates to that initial space where I need information, to actually going through the process where there's a bit of momentum behind getting everything in readiness for a court hearing, and engaging with all those legal professionals, and how in the aftermath there may be that additional support required. And I suppose we do recognise that that court space is and can be a very daunting space. Yeah. So having a service like our own and staff that can engage you and go through it hand in hand with you is hopefully a very reassuring support to receive in that.
So if you're looking to contact our court service at Evenness directly, you can contact them on 01912 1670. So you can have a look on our website, where we have information on the legal orders, and that's evenness.ie. Evenness have locations throughout North Dublin, inclusive of Swords, Balbriggan and Smithfield, where we're based close to the courts. We also have clinics distributed throughout North Dublin. If you want to contact us, we can arrange to offer you an appointment in any of those sites.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the Evenness podcast through Apple, Spotify, Nearcast, or wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe.